You can take your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We find a lot of things in the book of Isaiah that talk to us about God and about who he is. We read some scripture here this morning from verse 10 through verse 18 that talks about God. And noticing verse 12, for example, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. You know, we can't even weigh the stuff God made. We can't even comprehend the awesome power of God. And then we come to verse 18. Or verse 17 even. It says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Wow. You know, when we think about nations, we think about superpowers. We think about the power and might of, for example, this nation, the United States of America. But you know what? When God considers the power and the might of even the United States of America or China or Russia or Iran or you name the place, God says, it's nothing. It's less than nothing. You see how great God is. The nations are as nothing. Now that doesn't mean he doesn't value them. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about them. For he does. One soul is critically important to him. There's rejoicing in heaven, the Bible tells us, over one soul that comes to the Savior. God cares. But yet, in comparison to God's vastness, in comparison to God's greatness, all the glory of man, all of the might of man is like nothing. God is awesome. The title of the message and the series here is Who is God? Who is God? Notice verse 18. It says, to whom then will ye liken God? And what likeness will ye compare unto him? And then let's skip down to verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, that's God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Down to verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? You know, who could we compare God to? Who could we say, well, here's God, and here's something or someone who's like him. The Bible says there's no comparison. You can't find a comparison to God, to his vastness, to his power, to his majesty. Notice again verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. That's to the heavens, right? To the heavens, to the sky. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He's talking about the stars that God created. And he says, look at these things. Wow, they're awesome. Bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them, that is, God calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power not one faileth. In other words, he's got everything under control. I'll tell you what, man could try all he wants to destroy planet Earth, and the fact of the matter is, until it's God's time for planet Earth to be destroyed, man couldn't do it. Now, granted, he could create a fair bit of havoc and cause a lot of sickness and destruction, but you know what? Planet Earth is in God's hands. God does say one day it will be destroyed, and one day the elements will melt with a fervent heat. He does say it. Say that. But that will be on God's timetable. That will be on God's watch. And because God did it. But notice it says, notice verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? In other words, why Israel or why Jacob do you say, hey, we can sneak around, God's never going to see? More or less what they're saying. And verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? And listen at this, there is no searching of his understanding. In other words, you could investigate the understanding of God forever, and you would never complete the investigation. Because his understanding is without end. It's infinite. His understanding is infinite. Who is God? Well, there's so much we could say, and of course, this will have to be a series, but because we can't tackle even the tip of the iceberg, as we might say, about God in one sitting. But I want to point out a few things this morning. First of all, who is God? Well, I want you to understand he's one of a kind. He is one of a kind. There is no one like God. There is only one true and living God. Chapter 44 and verse 6 here of Isaiah. Chapter 44 and verse number 6. There is no one else like God. He is infinite in wisdom, infinite in power. His absolute holiness, his excellency, his nature, no one even comes close to God. Notice Isaiah 44, now verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Chapter 45, verse 20. Chapter 45, please notice verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image. Talking here about idol worship, where they carve an image and bow down to it, pray to it. It says, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me, a just God and a Savior. Oh, hey, I'll tell you what. I am sure thankful that the true and living God, the one true God, is a just God, and he is a Savior. Oh, friend, there is truly one God. And we could look at countless scriptures from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation about God. Yes, he is the first. Yes, he is the last. He's the Alpha and Omega, which is the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He is the beginning. He's the end. He is everything. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He's the Creator. Psalm 90 says in verse 1 and 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You see, we have a God who made us. The Bible teaches that about 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years of Old Testament time, about 2,000 years now of New Testament time, sums up the history of planet Earth. In the beginning, Genesis tells us, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God made man on the earth, and incidentally, made man in His image. In His image. Genesis tells us that. The rest of Scripture agrees with that. And so you can see that God is awesome. But I want you to notice here the specialness. That God, this God is described here in Isaiah 45 verse 21 as a just God. That means He does what's right. And He's a Savior. He's a just God. And He's a Savior. Verse 22, notice what it says here. Verse 22, it says, look unto, what's that next word? Look unto me. Now this is God talking. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Wow. What a God. A just God and a Savior. I want you to understand there is no one like God. Oh, there are gods many and lords many. You can find false gods all over the planet. You can find people who worship graven images. You can find people who pray to statues and kiss relics and pray to saints. And you can find all this stuff, but there's only one God and there's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, some people say, in our world today, that Allah is the same God that the Christians worship. Now Allah, the name Allah means God, but you know, in the Old Testament, there was a false God whose name was Baal, and that name means Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, was it Elijah? Yeah. Was on Mount Carmel, and he went up against the 450 prophets of Baal, and he said, if the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. You know what? Baal and Jehovah God were very different gods. Baal couldn't do anything. Baal was... the ones who prayed to him, they saw nothing. He couldn't do a thing for them to save them. But Jehovah, He is the God. He is the God. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to a more present day with Allah, which the name means God, but it's a different God. You see, when you go into the description of what Allah is like and what Allah says, Allah is a very different description, okay? They're not the same thing. They're not the same person. Jehovah God of the Bible is the true and living God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. He is eternal. And so, I want you to understand that though there are many religions in the world, not all religions lead to the same God. The Bible says there is no other name, Acts 4 verse 12, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Not all roads lead to heaven. Not all religions lead to heaven. Friend, we must recognize the Bible is the authority. The Word of God is our authority, and it teaches us about the true and living God, the Creator, and it teaches us about His Son, Jesus, who came to this earth and became a man, who lived among us and who died for our sin. He died for my sin, and He died for your sin. We are all sinners, and we all need the Savior. The Bible tells us that by faith alone we can be saved, because, my friend, the true and living God is a just God. And that means He'll judge sin wherever it's found. But He's also a Savior. He's a Savior. He came that sin might be dealt with. And that's why a sinner like me can be saved, is because God paid the price for my crimes. And by faith, I can trust God for that payment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. I want you to understand, not only is God a one of a kind, He's a one of a kind, but secondly, I want you to understand that God is a real person. He's not only a one of a kind, no one ever measures up to God. There's only one true and living God, but God is a real person. I want to point this out to you, that God is not merely a force, although He is very powerful. He's not just a first cause. You know, we look at the majesty of His creation and we think, well, somebody must have made that. You know, something designed that. Well, I'll tell you what, yes, indeed, a very masterful, a very wise Creator. But I'll tell you what, that Creator is a person. He's a person. Now, here's the cool thing. You and I are also persons. I'm a person. I can think, I can reason, I have a will, I make choices, decisions for my life. I'm a person. We can relate to one another because we're both people. We can have relationships that have some depth, and we can communicate, and we can share feelings and express emotions of joy and sorrow and all of these things. And God, actually, the reason we're who we are, persons like this, with all these qualities I just mentioned, is actually the image of God in us. So I want you to understand that you and I are, we have these qualities because He is like this. Because He has these qualities. Of course, sin has entered in, and He doesn't have any sin. And when He created us, we were without sin. We were created in His image. And so I want you to understand who God is, that He is a person. He's not just, you know, our higher power. Sometimes people talk about that. You know, you need a higher power. I mean, you need something to look to or have confidence in, or what have you. Well, God is not merely a higher power. He's not merely a force or a first cause. He's not even merely a figment of our imagination. If we believe truth, then we are believing about the real person. Now, we can have imaginations that are not based in truth, but if we are reading and studying and applying what the Bible says about God, then we are building our thought process of who He is on truth. And so it's true. It's not a figment of our imagination, even though God is invisible. God is invisible. So I want you to understand he's a real person. He thinks and works. The Bible tells us in Genesis that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Spirit of God, verse 2, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Verse 25 of Genesis 1 says, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Thus," chapter 2, verse 1, "thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had made." We can see that God was working. He was thinking. He had a purpose. He had a plan. God has joy and sadness. Oh my, could read so many scriptures that talk about the joy or the sadness of God. He is a person who feels. For example, before God destroyed the earth in the flood because of the wickedness of man, the Bible says in Genesis 6, verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." God loves and God hates. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19 says, "These are six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." That's six things, actually seven things, that the Bible says the Lord hates. You see, he loves and he hates. You know, God hates sin. He does. He hates sin. It offends him enormously. And yet, he loves sinners. In spite of their sin. And he's made the way that sinners can get their sin taken care of, so they can come back into fellowship with God. You see, he's a person. He enjoys fellowship. He enjoys fellowship. And that's where we're getting in the book of James. God says, "Draw near to me, draw nigh to me, and I will draw near to you." Friend, how is it in your life? Are you drawing near to this awesome God, your Creator? Are you seeking him? God says in the book of Jeremiah, to the nation of Israel in particular, Jeremiah 29, verse 13, says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, God is a one of a kind. He is also a person, though. Someone to whom we can have fellowship with. We can communicate with him in prayer. God says that if we'll humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. We can come as we are. We can come broken. We can come sinful. And if we humble ourselves before God, we can find mercy. We can find grace. I want you to understand just a glimpse of who God is. There's so much more I wanted to cover this morning, but I want you to understand that the God who made everything cares about you. He cares about you. It doesn't matter how insignificant you feel. God knows your name. God knows everything about you. All the good, all the bad. And still, He loves you. That God has time for you. God wants you to be His child. If you're not saved, if you're still in sin, you know what? God wants you to repent of your sin. That's turning from sin and turning to the Savior. He is a Savior. He's a great Savior. He's the only Savior. Do you know Jesus today? Listen, I can't save you. This church can't save you, nor any other church. But there is one. His name is Jesus. He literally walked this earth, not maybe in North Dakota, but He literally walked planet Earth 2,000 years ago. And He lived a sinless life. And He died so that I could be saved, so that you could be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord to be saved? Have you recognized that you are a sinner and that if you die in this condition, you will face the righteous judgment of God? He is a just God, but He is a Savior. Will you be saved? He said there in Isaiah 45, verse 22, He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." He will save you, and I want you to understand, He is a person. He doesn't say, He says, "Look unto me." You see, God's a person. A person who loves you, who cares about you, who knows you. You're not just a number in a computer system. You're someone whom God loves and cares for. Have you opened your heart to the God who created you? To the God who loves you. I look forward to learning more about God. We've learned just a teensy little bit, but some precious truths about the true and living God. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your holy word, which is our authority. Lord, the authority is not in my wisdom or my words, but rather in what Your word says. Lord, I pray that You would help if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that today might be that glad day where there would be rejoicing in heaven because a soul trusted Jesus and their sins were forgiven. Lord, I pray that if there's someone who needs this today, that today they would indeed trust You. They would not put it off, but call upon the Savior today. Lord, I pray for those who know Jesus, who are saved. Help us, Lord, to grow. Oh, salvation is just the beginning of a life of fellowship with you. Lord, I pray that you would work in my heart and life. Oh, Lord, I know I need to go deeper. Lord, I know that there's more in the depth of a relationship that I can have with you. Lord, I pray this for each believer here, that we would not stagnate in the relationship with you, Lord, but that we would continue to cultivate that loving, nurturing fellowship. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you that you are a person, that you hear our prayer, that you care for our lives. Thank you for all that you've prepared for us as well when the roll is called up yonder. Lord, I thank you. Give us strength this week. Help us to be sensitive to the fact that you are alive and well, and that you are working. In Jesus' name, amen.